We are to be burdened for all men who are creatures made in the image of God. We are to preach the gospel to every creature.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
It is our responsibility, it is the responsibility of every generation to reach out to the world of its day and not only defend and confirm the gospel, but also proclaim the message of the gospel to those around them. We need strong, compelling inducements, strong, compelling motivations to overcome our essential self-centeredness and give ourselves to sacrificial involvement in reaching out to those who need to know our Lord Jesus Christ and becoming involved in the evangelistic process. I want you to notice with me the necessary motives and methods to fulfill this great task. The first one of those motivations is obedience to Christ's command. We ought to be involved in the evangelistic process for the simple reason that Jesus Christ said that we ought to be. Each of the Gospels records Christ's universal commission to the church. As I look there in the 28th chapter of Matthew, verses 18 to 20, I see three things that kind of unfold God's unexcelled strategy for world evangelization, whether it's the microcosm of our own little world or the macrocosm of the globe. I see a threefold development there in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. The first thing I see is His unlimited power. All power is given unto me. All power. There's a breathtaking comprehensiveness attached to that concept. All power is given unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and I'll share that power with you. Second thing I see in that great commission is His unfailing program. And I read in verses 19 to 20, three steps of that unfailing program. The Bible says we're to go out first to evangelize. Go ye therefore and teach, or go ye therefore and make disciples. Evangelize. Beyond evangelizing, we are to baptize. We're to evangelize, and then we're to baptize, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, we're taught that we're to catechize, teaching them all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. The third thing I see in that passage is His unending presence. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 gives us God's unexcelled strategy for world evangelization, His unlimited power, His unfailing program, His unending presence. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I want to tell you that is a rich source of encouragement to me. I hope it's a rich source of encouragement to you. When I assume the responsibilities of this pulpit, of this local church, when I assume the responsibilities of personal evangelism, when I assume the responsibility of being a father to my children and a husband to my wife, when I assume the responsibility that is incumbent upon me as a follower of Jesus Christ to evangelize the world in which I live, I thank God for that divine presence. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. It must have been a staggering thing for 11 humble Galileans to be spoken to like this by the Lord Jesus Christ. It must have been a staggering thing for those humble Galileans to be sent forth to the conquest of the world. Maybe it's a staggering thing for you in the world in which you live to think that I have to so closely identify with Jesus Christ that I am responsible for those people. That God has laid upon me the proud privilege, the awesome responsibility of sharing with those around me the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am sure it was to those humble Galileans. Even as they heard those words, their hearts must have failed them. But no sooner was the command given, and this is the way our Lord always is, no sooner was the command given than the promise followed. They were sent out, as you and I are sent out, to the greatest task in history, to bring to men the one message that can transform them from the inside out, radically transform them, save their souls, rebuild their marriages, give them strength, integrity, and direction in their families, build churches that can propagate the gospel all around the world, strengthen an entire culture. They were sent out to perform the greatest task of history, but they were sent out with the greatest presence in the world, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the unexcelled strategy of God for world evangelization. His unlimited power, it's yours, Christian friend, and it's mine. His unfailing program, evangelize, baptize, catechize, his unending presence. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. But Matthew's not alone in the issuance of this mandate, of this great commission. Do you remember Mark 16 and verse 15? Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you remember Luke 24 and verse 47? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Do you remember John chapter 20 and verse 21? As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It is repeated. Repetition is the mother of all learning. Here is a powerful message which God wants to bring down into the hearts of all of his followers. There is no room for doubt, for disagreement, or argument, nor is there any room for evasion. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to whom all power is given in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth has laid squarely on the shoulders of all of his followers the proud privilege and awesome responsibility of personal evangelism. And each of the Gospels, I don't know if you note this or not as I've read them to you, but this may be of interest to you. Each of the Gospels reflects, as I see it, a little different facet or nuance of emphasis in this one general mandate to evangelize. How do you look at the instruction of those four Gospels? This is how I look at it. In Matthew's Gospel, we have the strategy of our ministry. I've already shared that with you. In Matthew's Gospel, we have the strategy of our ministry, God's unlimited power, God's unfailing program, God's unending presence. In Mark's Gospel, we have the scope of our mission field. We are to preach the gospel to every creature without discrimination. We are to have love indiscriminately. We are to be burdened for all men who are creatures made in the image of God. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. That is the scope of our mission field. In Luke's gospel, we have the substance of our message. Repentance and remission of sins are to be preached in Christ's name to every nation. That is the substance of our message, repentance and remission of sins. And then in John's gospel, we have the source of our mandate, of our command. As Christ was sent out by the Father, so we are sent out by Jesus Christ. As the Father hath sent me, John 20 and verse 21, even so send I you. But let me just close out with a few thoughts here. I want you to see that this mandate from our Lord Jesus Christ is not something that is simply confined to the Gospels, but it's something that surfaces again in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we have this same basic command reiterated. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In fact, I want you to turn to that very familiar verse with me, if you would. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We have that same basic command reiterated. Outside the Gospels, the unfolding record of the New Testament church, and it is expressly stated that the descent and the power of the Holy Spirit are inseparably bound up with the call to witness for Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The descent and the power of the Holy Spirit is inseparably bound up with the call to witness. Now, as I look at this great commission, that's what we customarily call it, I've surveyed it very briefly for you, expanded one passage in Matthew 28, and surveyed it very briefly for you in the Gospels. As I look at this great commission in the book of Acts, it has four facets to it as I see it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It has four facets to it as I see it, this great commission. They relate to us. This is a message for us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. How do you see that verse? The great commission in the book of Acts. This is how I see it. One, the first facet of this great commission, I see its power. Ye shall receive power, extraordinary power, efficient power, evident power. When this power goes to work, it gets the job done, and people can see that God is at work in it. That's the meaning of the word power, dunamis. And the source of this power, its power, is the Holy Spirit himself. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. You and I are the blessed recipients and depositories of the Holy Spirit of God. Our body is God's treasure house, God's tool, his instrument of righteousness in God's holy temple. He wishes to live out his life through us in the personality of the Holy Spirit. God always works on the principle of incarnation. God always puts flesh on his messages. That's why we had theophanies and Christophanies in the Old Testament, the way of the incarnation in the New Testament. And that's why you and I are called the body of Christ. We are the visible representation of Christ. We are the incarnation, so to speak, of Jesus Christ. And we are fed the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God while we're here on earth. Its power is the Holy Spirit himself. He has a limitless power. He can meet every one of our needs in this ministry of witness. And then its personnel. The Great Commission in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, its power is the Holy Spirit himself. Its personnel is you. In fact, Luke uses that second person plural on three separate occasions in the confines of that one verse. But ye, you, shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Three times, you, 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 he says in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. He means that New Testament Christians, and you and I follow on that train, New Testament Christians, born-again Christians, those who become members of the body of Christ, those who place their faith in the Son of God, those who have been born again indiscriminately in one way or another, not all of us in the same way, but in one way or another, is laid upon our shoulders squarely the privilege and the responsibility of being a witness for Jesus Christ. New Testament Christians compose the personnel. They are the stuff of which the ministry of evangelism is made. It is a commission that rests upon the whole church collectively and therefore upon each Christian individually. All of God's children are sent out to do as the Philippians did, shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. What's its purpose? This great commission in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Its power is the Holy Spirit himself. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Its personnel, you New Testament Christians, you are the stuff of which the ministry of evangelism is made, not just the pastor. He's to be involved in it, do the work of an evangelist, Paul says to Timothy. He's to be involved in it, not just the evangelist, not just the pastor, not just the missionary, not just the vocational, so to speak, servant of God. Every one of us as Christians, in one way or another, ought to be involved in the evangelistic process. And then what's its purpose? The purpose of this Great Commission? Ye shall be witnesses unto me.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
I hope that you're allowing God's Spirit to reduplicate this kind of love in you, that you are becoming alert to the needs of those around you.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.